It was originally written in Paleo-Hebrew as Yahweh. This latter changed the letter shapes during the Babylonian captivity to the modern Hebrew. Our traditions were shaped by people attempting to smooth out differences by avoiding the real name and using devices and genetic terms. No one would be offended, but we violate the third commandment. You will not find even one instance in the writings where anyone referred to Yahweh as Hashem, the name. The monks couldn't monk with all the Torah scrolls held by the Yehudim, but they could monk with the Greek. For two centuries, the Nazarenes held a copy of the Memoir of Matthai Hayahu, Matthew's real name, penned in the original Hebrew. A copy of it was discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls. I wonder if that was what the document was that made the Pope faint when he saw it several decades back. As a transliteration of the above Paleo-Hebrew name, people have used Yahshua, Yahshua, Yahshu, Yahushta, etc. I prefer Yahusha, but I will print it as it was originally written, Yahweh. For one thing, Moses couldn't read it. Daniel could read it too, as well as King Duad. Remember, no V. Why am I so hung up on the old Hebrew? It is the inspired script. Remember, in Daniel 5, there was a feast for 1,000 nobles in Babylon, and the king Belshazzar took out the temple utensils his father had plundered from the Yadium, emerging from thin air near the lamp stand, the memoriam, where Beelzebub was sitting. A hand wrote these words in the plaster on the wall. It is not written in modern Hebrew. During the Babylonian captivity, the Hebrew letters became altered, and only the older educated Hebrews could recall the original letter shapes. Yahweh chose to write in his own hand, uncorrupted by the human whims and designs. When no one could be found to even read the letters themselves, Belshazzar's mother recommended that Daniel, by now an elderly man, be summoned. He could read it. The words transliterated were mem, mem, tekel, you person, measure, measure, weighed, divided. That night, Belshazzar was killed, and his kingdom was taken over by Cyrus the Mede. The kingdom of the head of gold had just passed into the chest and arms of silver. The original script is part of what is being restored in the world today, and with it, the rock of truth in the real name. Peter quoted the prophet Joel, when he said, Everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved, Acts 2:21. The inspired script is our foundation, and I simply stopped making excuses that it can be ignored. It will change everything. Acts 4:12 states, there is no other name under heaven, the skies, given among men by which we must be saved. The name is the hidden treasure at Yahshua, Yahu, Isaiah 33:6. This is clear. The fear, respect of Yahweh, is the key to this treasure. Mashusha's name altered. So what does the name Jesus mean? The beginning part in Greek is the sound Yah, which is a hail. It is not Yah because it was changed. Now we are left with the Sus part. That may be significant, so I would tell you that the word we sometimes see in Latin, Jesus, has been traced to a Hebrew word meaning a curse upon you, a curse be upon. A good book to check out is The Dictionary of Christian Lore and Legend by J.C. J. Medford. One source has this to say. It is known that the Greek name endings of Zeus, Zeus, and Zeus, which are phonetically pronunciations for Zeus, were attached attached by the Greeks to names and geographical areas as a means to give honor to their supreme deity, Zeus. Examples are Parnassus, a sacred mountain in Greece, the Greek deity of wine and son of Zeus, Deioneus. The Greek hero of the Trojan War was Odysseus, and the Greek deity of healing was Isis, which is a variant spelling of Jesus, or the Latin Isis / Jesus. They also changed the names of the prophet Eliyahu, whose name means "My mighty one is Yah," and Eliseo, whose name means "My mighty one saves," to Elijah and Elishas, which means "My mighty one is Zeus." This was done so often that it later was the basis for their rules of written grammar, which followed the common or vernacular spoken language. There are plenty of other Greek words that end with Zeus, like the city of Tarsus, meaning sweat of Zeus, and Pegasus. How can we explain the Spanish Jesus? Even the name Yoso was corrupted to Joseph, then Giuseppe, but they didn't tack the name Zeus on it. As a synchronism, the Greeks had to hear Zeus in the Mahus name. If you stop 50 people walking out of a church service and ask them what the name of the creator of the universe is, you will usually hear them respond with God, the Lord, or Jesus. The fact is, the word Jesus has no meaning in Hebrew, and the closest Hebrew word to the Greek Zeus is Zeus, meaning horse. So Jesus literally means the horse. The adversary, Ha Satan, has altered much more, as you will learn later on in this book. Let's look at our English word, God. It is not a name. As the writings say, there are many gods. Also, you should know there is no difference if the letters are capitalized or not, because there is no differentiation letters in all of Hebrew. Small letters began with the Greek alphabet. Yes, we even get our word alphabet from the first two Hebrew letters, but use the later Greek letter names. This is what the Encyclopedia America, 1945 edition, says under the topic God. God, common Teutonic word for personal object of religious worship, formerly applicable to superhuman beings of heathen myths or conversions of Teutonic races to Christianity. Term was applied to supreme being. No, it can't be true, but it is true. This shocked me the first time I read it. Most of my research was done without anyone telling me these little details. I just looked things up. I could hardly stand it. I felt betrayed and deceived. Further research revealed that these Teutonic druids called the sun Gud, Guda, Goth, or Gata, Goth. In some countries, they still call the sun Goth. Druidic mythology says Woden rides an eight-legged horse, Celepern, in Gotaland. Look up Vahalda. Notice the term Goth used in Vigoslav's Western Goths and Ostrogoths, Eastern Goths. See the term Ostra. Ostra refers to the east where the sun rises and is a variant of Easter or Istar, Ostar. Woden is pictured in some books riding his eight-legged steed in Gothland. Gothland is the equivalent of Mount Olympus, where Zeus lived in their mythology. So we've inherited the custom of calling Yahweh Goth and his son Yahweh Jesus. The rabbi's name is ravaged, and we call the father by a pagan name originally used for the proper name of their Sunday deity. Sun deity. And just for fun, they have called us have us calling him Lord, which means bow in Hebrew. What next? Everyone who calls upon the name of God or bow will not be saved. You have to prove all things. Rabbi Shuva revealed his father's name to his Talmidim, student, disciples. A disciple is a student of a disciple. John was originally Yahshuan, gift of Yah, corrupted to Jonathan, who's Jonathan, and finally just John. Ed Yahukan, Rabbi says, I have revealed, uncovered, your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. After Abel was killed by Cain, and Seth was born to Adam and Huah, Genesis 4:26 says, at that time men began to call on the name of Yahweh. Now read Isaiah 43:10-13. One Sabbath, Rabbi Yahweh healed a man, Si Yakuan, and the ruling Yahudim sought to kill him for breaking Sabbath and calling Yahweh his father. At 5:43, he says, I have come in my father's name. Not only in his name, in his father's authority, but literally in his name, Yah. As he was entering Jerusalem, he was greeted by throngs of followers shouting, Hoshua, the Syriac or Aramaic Hebrew word, save us, Psalms 18:25. They also cried out the Hebrew word for Psalms 118:26, Baruch Haba Bashem, Yahweh, meaning blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. This vocalization of the name of Yahweh caused some of the Pharisees in the crowd to yell out, Rabbi, rebuke your Talmud, Luke 19:39. Rabbi, Yahweh was spreading the name of the Father all around, revealing the true name of the Father to all the world. Ha, Satan has stolen it away, and it was being restored. Since HaSatan is still in the world, he rules over mankind religiously to deceive and has once again destroyed the use of the true name. HaSatan is the original sound of Hebrew words, the adversary. When Yahweh told Cephas, Peter, get behind me, Satan, he was simply calling Cephas his adversary in accomplishing his mission. Cephas wasn't possessed. Nazarenes are now reappearing on the earth to proclaim the name of Yahweh just before Rabbi Yahweh returns with the message of the kingdom of Yahweh. Repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh draws near. Matthew 4:17. Mark 1:15 records these very words of Moshe as the gospel. The kingdom of Yahweh draws near. Repent and believe the good news. That good news or report would be what we are told. We are to teach the nations to obey Torah, your mission, should you choose to accept it. The Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Rosh Hashanah, and reach them to and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:19-20. As an Nazarene, Yahshuah, we are each commanded to act on this. Who Yahshua was speaking to in the above is most relevant. He was speaking to Torah observant Israelites, his privately taught students. They were not Christians. Any Gentile that engrafts into Israel also observes the same Torah covenant as any other Israelite. The followers of Yahshua simply have it inscribed upon their hearts. When the true message or gospel is proclaimed anywhere in the world, an important sign of authenticity will accompany it. The woman who came to Yahweh with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume, will also be told in memory of her. See Matthew 26, 7 through 13. This must be one of those real messages because I just made mention of her. As I illustrated earlier, Saul, or Paul, was sent out at first by the Sanhedrin to arrest the early Nazarenes for openly using the name, citing how Stephen was stoned as Saul held the outer cloaks of the killers. He admitted this at Acts 12:22-19-20. At Acts 4, Cephas and Yahshuam have been arrested. Saul, or Paul, was sent out at first by the Sanhedrin to arrest the early Nazarenes for openly using the name, citing how Stephen was stoned as Saul held the outer cloaks of the killers. He admitted this at Acts 22:19-20. At Acts 4, Cephas and Yahshuam had been arrested by the Sanhedrin. The elders of Israel were so steeped in the tradition of not saying the name aloud, they conferred among themselves, saying, "But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, the name, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in his name." Acts 4:17. The name Yahweh contains the name of Yahweh. Acts 4:7 begins their examination. Brought before the elders, Cephas and Yahshuan are asked, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" This was to entrap them into saying the name aloud, as they had Stephen. Cephas said it was by the name of Yahweh, Ha Mashanah of Nazareth, that a man had been healed or of being crippled at beyond the age of 40. When they were released, they returned to the other Nazarenes, addressing Yahweh by name at verse 24, after which the earth shook. His name is authority over disease, demons, and a strong tower of refuge. A conspiracy to conceal the name. We've surveyed only a few examples of how the real name became the veiled or concealed. If it is not known, how can we call Hebrew Quarar on it, or so be delivered as Yahel and Cephas said we must? Yahweh says, "My people will know my name." The prophet Yemanyahu, Jeremiah, note the ending Ayah in many prophets' names. He declared at 23:27, "Good news" in Hebrew, Besmora, meaning message. They think the dreams they tell one another, made up words, substitutions, will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal, Lord. Lying teachers of the people were misleading them, and their teachers were just being dreamed up. Their teachings were just being dreamed up. That's what spin doctors do. This was during the time the name was first being avoided, and they were substituting the term Adonai, Hebrew, my Lord. The Babylonians were worshiping the sun with the name Baal, meaning Lord, and were concealing the deity's real name from even their people. It was Dagon, which later was Dagon, to the Philistines and Phoenicians. You can read about the half-fish, half-man image that kept falling down when the Philistines put the Ark of Yahweh in the temple of Dagon in 1 Samuel chapters 4 and 5. The Ark itself was called by the name of Yahweh, 2 Samuel 6:1-2. The English word Lord isn't even a name of any kind. It comes from the Celtic term Hafawerkerm, meaning keeper of the loaf. Monkeying with the text has led to not only doctrinal slants, but also mutilations and maskings of original words. Some have even said, if the King James Version were good enough for the apostles, then it's good enough for me. This version contains one of the best opportunities to see what was added, because the words the translators added are printed in italics, but what was changed and omitted they didn't tell us. It was authorized by the Queen, not King James. Translations are not inspired as the original prophets who wrote the words of Yahweh in Hebrew. Scholars admit that of the 5,000 Greek manuscripts which contain all or part of the New Testament, every one of these handwritten copies differed from every other one. These scholars confess that there is not one sentence in the New Testament in which the manuscripts tradition is wholly uniform. This is due to variants put in them deliberately and carelessly handling of the text, or many created for theological or dogmatic reasons. The Greek text itself was being constantly interpreted and reinterpreted by each succeeding generation. In contrast, the consistency of the Hebrew Old Testament text, which was copied with a reverent fear by the scribes, remains without discrepancy in its many copies. They would not change even one letter. Since the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the myth that the New Testament was inspired in the Greek language has been exploding. Dead Sea Scrolls. In 1947, a young Bedou shepherd boy was in the northwest area of the Dead Sea, chasing after one of his clever animals. The animal scrambled into a cave hole. The boy couldn't easily get to him, so he threw some rocks in to spook him out. The boy heard a loud crashing sound like a large jar breaking. He entered the cave, now Cave 1, and discovered many jars with lids containing old scrolls. He took one of the to an antique dealer in the town, and it turned out to be an ancient scroll written in Hebrew. Of course he sold it, and the dealer wanted to know where he found it. The rest is modern history. What you will usually not hear in is why the scrolls were there. As scrolls of scripture were used in temple or synagogues, they would wear out eventually and were carefully copied by scribes. They would not discard or destroy the worn-out copy profanely, but bury it respectfully. Why? Because these worn scrolls contain the personal name of Yahweh written on them. Every worn scroll was placed in a jar with a lid and buried. Now the scrolls are either in the Rockefeller Museum or the Shrine of the Book, both in Jerusalem, yet one of them has the name on them. Since it is used 6,823 times, more than any other word, you would think that the scholars would bring it the recognition it deserves. But you often find these men are sectarian or even unbelievers that happen to be familiar with ancient languages. Just look up the word Lord in all capital letters. In any concordance, the scrolls that did not contain the name are absent, such as the scroll we call Esther. The scroll of Esther has the name in acoustics 4 times, but it is concealed from pagan eyes. The scrolls of Enoch, Baruch, Jubilee, Yub-El, and all the others we call Old Testament are present. The Shrine of the Book building is designed like a huge jar lid, like the kind of scrolls were found in. This is a good place to bring up another oddity. What do the scrolls call themselves? We use the traditional scriptures, which is Latin-rooted word, from the scriptum, meaning handwriting. The most common term heard is Bible. The word Bible is not found anywhere in the text of the writing themselves. It is a traditional term given to the inspired words of mankind. The term has been used for so long, people have come to accept it readily. Yahweh never used the word Bible, nor did Nazarene after him. No prophet ever uttered the word, and it is not a translation for what the writings call themselves either. At Luke 24:44, you will be given insight into what our prophet of prophets called the writings themselves. The term was, as he said it, Torah, law. Neblin, prophets, and Ketuvim's writings beginning with Psalms, this is shortened to one word, Tanakh, an acronym. We use the word scuba and laser as acronyms. Baal is Hebrew for Lord. Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. Yahuwah is not Baal. He is Yahuwah. End at page 21. Worship is the Hebrew word obad.